The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody. It is our final hour together here for the Wednesday, March 29th show. And when the representatives for this lady got in touch, this was an easy yes. We would love the opportunity to say hi to Myra Flores because, man, that was a pretty cool 117th Congress of which she was a part. Wish that had gone a little differently this past November. We'll talk about that and talk about the past and the future as we say hello to former, but who knows what in the future, 34th District Congresswoman Myra Flores. Welcome, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me.
Huge pleasure to have you. Let's talk about the here and the now and the immediate future and then walk through a pretty amazing path that you've had for these last couple of years. It seems that your days right now are filled with a lot of activism, a lot of cashing in on the huge popularity that you have in terms of political capital. And the first thing you want us to know is you've looked at 2024. As far as you're concerned, it is time for Donald Trump 2.0. Do I have that right?
That's right. Yes, I've always supported President Trump, and under President Trump, we had a strong economy, we had a secure border, and the American dream was alive, and I just want someone in Washington that can get the job done, and he got the job done before, and I know he will do it again.
And it's funny because that's exactly because I'm sitting here doing a conservative talk show. I thank God for every day of the Trump presidency. I'm intrigued by Governor DeSantis. I'm going to let the game come to me, see how these guys do. And the folks in Trump world, I think, would do well to remind everybody of just how great those years were. And I guess I wonder sometimes if you ever have his ear, it's like maybe not as much hand-wringing about 2020, maybe not as much bagging on DeSantis. Just tell us the great things you did. Would that make any sense?
I agree with you 100%. I think that, you know, he showed us what an amazing president, right? He was, and his policies did so good for all of us, not just here in South Texas. The Hispanic community was prospering, but in general, the American people. We all had more money in our pockets. We weren't struggling to pay our rent, our mortgage, groceries, gas, you name it. We were able to take care of our families. And now many have to get two jobs. Single moms can't no longer afford to take care of their families just with one job. So many of them have to work overtime. The American people are really struggling right now. And under the Trump administration, we were all prospering. And that's all I'm about. I just want our country to prosper. And I want all people from all walks of life to do well in this country.
You're joining us from McAllen. Let's talk about your district, which goes right from the border just about up to Corpus. And a lot of people went, whoa, how did a Republican of any stripe win that seat at all? You are a strong Republican woman, which makes you just the most dangerous creature in America to the American left. So let's talk about your rise and how this all happened. And that was a glorious 117th Congress for you. It was great. Take us through the path that led you to Congress.
Well, we ran in a special election. This district was a Biden plus four district, very competitive. And we knew that if we invested in the special election that we would win. And we did, even though this district hadn't been won in over 150 years. But the reason why it took so long, to be honest with you, is it was because of the lack of investment. Unfortunately, we were redistricted. And our district went from a Biden plus four to a Biden plus 16. Yeah. And it literally made it four times harder for us to win our reelection. That's the reason why Congressman Vicente Gonzalez jump into Texas 34, because I don't know if you know that he was a member of Congress in Texas District 15. Mm-hmm. But the moment that district became competitive, he jumped into Texas 34 because that district became a safe district for Democrats. So that's the reason why he jumped districts. He had been a member of Congress for three terms in Texas 15, but he jumped into Texas 34, which was my district, because it became a safe Democrat district. Unfortunately, we were redistricted, and it made it, like I said, four or five times harder for us to win that reelection. But we were very proud of the work that we did in the special election. We were very proud of the work that we did for, you know, for almost a year. But I've been doing a lot of work here in South Texas for many years, since 2016, just going out there to the community and educating and helping them realize that the values that they were raised with, that were instilled in them, aligns with the Republican Party. And even though my term finished in January, I'm just getting started. I'm very proud to be working with amazing organizations like TPPF, and we're working on school choice right now. And of course, also border security. There's a lot of work to do in our state.
And I've been, you know, sort of noticing things you do in your social media, and just in the last couple of days of news, you are among the voices saying, after this horrible, horrible tragedy in Nashville, that we've just got to stop dilly-dallying around and realize that we've got to have better school security.
Absolutely. You know, in my time in office, I put in place a bill called the RGV Act, and it would have invested billions of dollars in arming our schools. If we're able to send billions of dollars, right, to Ukraine, then don't tell me you don't have money to keep our children safe. Our children are our most precious. We can't live without them. They mean everything for us. So they are worth every dollar, and we should be investing billions of dollars if that's necessary to keep our children safe. No parent should ever feel worried or, you know, we're just traumatized to send our children to school. I have kids myself in elementary, in middle school, and in high school. And it worries me that this could happen in my children's school. Thank God they have police officers. But that's not the case in every school in Texas. That's not in every public school in the United States. I'm blessed that my kids go to a public school where they do have police officers in every school here in McAllen ISD. But that's not the case throughout the country. And every parent deserves that.
The values you describe in that answer, they're not Republican or Democrat. They're you know, mothers or fathers could feel that way. And I don't want to be too simplistic here, but a lot of people said that the amazing impact you had as a Republican Hispanic woman is that you found a way to resonate in a Hispanic voting bloc that tends to lean Democrat, but on things like family issues and social issues and economic issues, you were singularly able to bring people over to the Republican Party. Is there a lesson in your success for other Hispanic Republicans and a brighter future for turning Hispanic America into a, dare we dream, a majority Republican voting bloc?
You're right. In our district, we actually overperformed. We overperformed by 9 points in my district. And that was because I was focused on the kitchen table issues that matter to everyone. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. Focus on the things that matter to the everyday American, which again is groceries, gas, rent, the economy. It doesn't matter what side you're on. We all want more money in our pockets, right? And that's what I was relaying to the people in South Texas, that, you know, I wanted to bring prosperity, and that the Democrat Party, the far left, wanted to bring poverty, and that they wanted to keep them poor. But I wanted to bring prosperity, and I wanted to bring good jobs to South Texas, which I continue to fight for that, because we want our children to stay in South Texas, to accomplish the American dream in South Texas and not have to leave South Texas for better opportunities, because we do lack opportunity here in South Texas, unfortunately. And those things resonated with the people here because they also saw their children leave South Texas for better opportunities. I was also born in Mexico. A lot of people here in South Texas, where they're born or their parents born in Mexico, they have a connection, and they resonated with my story of me coming here to the United States, me going up north to go work because my parents were migrant workers. I worked in the cotton fields. I worked in the onion fields. That resonated with a lot of people because they also grew up going up north to go work as well. And then later on, graduated from college and became professionals. And I'm also a Border Patrol wife. Our Border Patrol agents, they're our family here in South Texas. They're our sons, daughters, husbands, wives. They're a part of us. They're our neighbors. So all that resonated with the people of South Texas. I'm a mother of four as well. So that resonated. So they resonated with me, but I resonated with them as well.
Well, which I know you will continue to do. And let me ask, because I know the district has been turned into whatever it has, but what is it? Do you see yourself the next, 5-10 years, private sector? Might you find a district that would be a little more friendly to you? Might we see you in Congress? What would you like to be doing 5-10 years from now?
I definitely want to get back in office. I feel like it's my calling, but I also have to find the right time. My little ones are still little, and I missed a lot of time when I was in office and I was campaigning. And right now, I'm really enjoying being there with them, dropping them off at school, being able to pick them up as well. And my little one is 6 years old. She's about to turn 7, so I just want them to grow a little more and get back in office, hopefully.
Well, you have plenty of time, and whenever that time is right, we will be there to talk to you and help you in any way we can, because I just love you.
Thank
and I appreciate
you
it so
much.
Very, very much.
Thank you.
Myra
I love
Flores,
y'all too.
Thank you, and best to your husband. Thank him for his service. Best to you and the family. Pet the dog. I understand he's doing well there in the background. I enjoyed that. That was awesome. Any household with a dog is a happy household. So thank you, Myra. I appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye. On Twitter at Myra Flores. 2022, I believe, is the Twitter handle, and she is great, and we appreciate her. All right, it's 9:19. Back to your calls next. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. You may remember this from the 90s.
Won't you tell me why?
From Wynonna. And God bless Wynonna.
Can't say goodbye.
But the songwriter is one of my favorites, the great Carla Bonoff, and here's her original take on it. Tell me why.
Everywhere I go, you're in my shadow.
And we got a lot of folks telling us why they feel a lot of things. And so in our remaining 35 minutes of show, let's dive in, make it a multi-topic festival. 866-660-5759. Before our chat with Myra Flores and before our chat with a gentleman from College Fix, last hour talking about the crazy politics of higher education, we spent some time talking about what some of the mental health guidelines ought to be for gun ownership, and whether not knowing what sex you are means you are sufficiently mentally screwed up that maybe you don't need to be owning a gun legally anyway. That sounds like a sensible sentence. Bringing that into fruition, as we learned in our Mike Gallagher segment, because Mike said, okay, talk show boy, how exactly would that work? Are people going to self-report? I said, well, I don't know. That's something you got to dot the I's and cross the T's. As I've said, if you believe you're a space alien, if you believe you're Abraham Lincoln, or you're a man, you believe you're a woman, you're crazy. And something about craziness makes me, wonder about you and gun ownership, and I am Mr. Second Amendment, but how in the world do you put that into practice? So obviously in the aftermath of Nashville, talking a lot about red flag laws, which are terrible, the coming attack on your gun ownership, which is terrible, the ideas which are out there, if we'll only adopt them, of more armed guards in schools, and I know that breaks my heart too. It it does it. If it breaks your heart that our schools need to arm up and have guys with guns on the premises, if that makes you sad, I get it. Me too. But not as sad as more dead kids. You do what you got to do. So, and I think this is something we got to do. All right, wide variety of angles on this as we hop back to your calls. If you hop out on I-45, go south probably a couple hours, get yourself to Freestone County, and then hop off, you can go to Doney, Texas, and find Dan's house. Hey, Dan, welcome. How are you, sir?
Thank you. Doing well, Mark. Good to talk to you from the Doney Greater Metropolitan Area this morning.
Exactly. Greater Metropolitan Doney. Nice to have you.
So I guess I'm the poster child for, you know, when seconds count, the police are minutes away. And in my case, they're probably half an hour away. So I'm a huge supporter of the Second Amendment. And with regard to this Nashville shooting, one thing I've really seen in the reporting is the statistical reality, I guess, that they're reporting on, that gun violence has become the number one killer of children in America. And as a follower of things Second Amendment and an advocate of the Second Amendment, one thing I know is that the number one cause of death by firearms is suicide. And if there's a group of people that are prone to suicide, it's transgender people. Just quickly looking at some statistics to back up my comments this morning, I saw an article on The Guardian that said over 50% of transgender people seriously consider suicide, and over 14% attempt suicide. So if you want to take guns away from people who are going to commit suicide, that's sure a good group to focus on.
Yeah, and earlier, Mike's point to me was, as soon as somebody just remotely telegraphs that they think they're trapped in the wrong body or have some gender dysphoria, are we going to do, is that instantly a criterion for taking their guns? We can talk about that, but once they head down a certain path of huge despair, harm to themselves, harm to others. In Nashville, we saw Exhibit A of harm to others. This was a woman who apparently, I can't wait to, maybe we can see that manifesto and see what kind of stuff was cooking inside her brain. A church filled with people not willing to accept that she's a man. A country filled with people who believe that what she needs is prayerful help and not affirmation of her fantasy of being a man. This kind of thing makes you want to kill people if you're not on a strong psychological foundation. Dan, thank you. Best to everybody in Greater Metropolitan Doney in Freestone County. And as far as the suicide thing, golly Moses, they will use this to emotionally blackmail you. I've got a 13-year-old girl who thinks she's a boy, and you got to go with that. Because if you don't, she's going to go up and hang herself in her closet. Whoa. Is that the binary choice? How about you surround her with prayerful love and care, and you try to make her better? You try to put her back in touch with reality. You try to treat her profound mental illness. It's the worst kind of emotional blackmail. That tries to cajole and wheedle and pressure you into going along with this horrific fantasy on the auspice that if you don't, on the premise that if you don't, you're somehow responsible for them killing themselves. No. 9:31, into the newsroom we go. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Gordon Griffin. Alrighty, home stretch, everybody. 937-866-660-5759. So there are so many issues, so many questions coming off the aftermath of Nashville, and some of them are ones that are necessary to ask in terms of how things get covered and how things get referred to. So about the 7 o'clock hour, somewhere in my opening ramblings, I said, "Look, if somebody attacks a synagogue, it's instantly the headlines blare that it's anti-Semitism. If somebody attacks a mosque, instantly the headlines blare that it's Islamophobia. And if somebody attacks a Christian church and school, it's crickets and tumbleweeds." The hesitancy to identify an anti-Christian hate crime, which I mean, this has the trappings. You know, I'm usually the person who says, let's not release, you know, manifestos and writings and videos of the latest murderous monster, because all that does is make other people want to do it. Other unhinged souls will say, wow, if I take out some people, you know, my writings will be released across the interweb. So that tends to make me not want to release the garbage that is in these people's tortured minds. But there's a question looming out there, and it deserves to be answered, whether the dominant media culture wants to face it or not. And that is, does radical trans politics and sociology drive people murderously crazy? I mean, if you are told that, you know, first of all, you hate the God that made you. You hate the people who believe God made you properly, male or female, so you hate them. You hate a society that is not perhaps ambitiously enough embracing your fantasy ride through the opposite sex. That's the kind of thing scramble up anybody's brain. And if you're already unhinged enough and frustrated enough, as we discussed in our last segment, you may want to take your own life or maybe the lives of others. So Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, had this on his mind as a crime issue, a law and order issue, and presented it to this guy, Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Do you plan on opening a hate crime investigation for the targeting of Christians?
FBI and ATF are both on the scene working with the local police. As of now, motive hasn't been identified.
Oh, really? Huh. All right. Senator Josh Hawley was on last night with Laura Ingraham.
Frankly, all the leadership there, like Ray as well.
FBI Director Christopher Ray.
Well, we need to call this what it is, Laura. When you target somebody based on their religious beliefs and their religious affiliation, it's a hate crime. Police in Nashville have said this school was targeted. It wasn't random. It wasn't happenstance. No, they were targeted. That is a federal hate crime. There should be a federal hate crime investigation. Federal government should make all of its resources available to Nashville police. We need to prevent this kind of thing from happening again. And to do that, Laura, we need to know how it happened now. We need to know the kind of hateful rhetoric that led to this. We need to know what the influences on this shooter were. And we need to be clear about the truth here. When you target Christians, you target religious believers, that's a hate crime.
Now, and it's funny because we tend to have that baked into our consciousness with some other religions. I mean, if somebody's walking around, you know, talking about, you know, this about the Jews and the evil Jews. I'm sorry, I don't know why I make them sound like that. If somebody is spouting all kinds of hateful venom about Jewish folks, it's like, okay, wow, got to keep an eye on that. And if there's an eye toward any kind of criminal activity, toward any kind of violent anti-Semitism or a synagogue attack, we are all properly aligned to address that. And listen, Islamophobia has been a tough nut to crack for the last 20 years since after 9/11, even saying, hey, some of those folks are radicalized, but Islamophobia. No, it's not. But if, let's say, somebody is, you know, beating up a Pakistani shopkeeper because he's real still twisted off about 9/11, that's Islamophobia. And we're properly aligned to go after that. Somebody firebombs a mosque, you know, in middle America, we're properly aligned to go after that. So what in the world is the obstacle? What in the world is the big stumbling block on identifying and devoting a proper attention to those who would violently attack Christians? And you know the answer. You know the answer. Because if you gather me a group of people who hate Jews, you know, they might have all kinds of affiliations that maybe you could predict that lead to that. If you run across a bunch of actual Islamophobes, people doing terrible, violent things wantonly to people of the Muslim faith, all right, there's that. But if you gather a room, just say randomly, find me 100 people who absolutely hate Christians' guts, some of them will be college professors. Some of them will be elected officials. Some of them will be, you know, media figures. Some of them will be just sort of recognizable figures on the left, where hatred and derision and mockery of Christianity is a daily stock in trade.
Well, Senator, you were actually mentioned at the White House today, and I couldn't believe how Biden reacted. Watch.
Sir, do you believe that Christians were targeted in the Nashville school
shooting? The reporter asking, do you believe that Christians were targeted in the Nashville school shooting?
Do you believe that Christians were targeted?
I have no idea.
Josh Hawley believes they were. What do you say to that?
Josh Hawley believes they were. What do you say to that?
I probably don't then.
I probably don't then. Really? Really? Josh Hawley believes Christians were targeted. Now, listen, if that's not something you want to instantly align yourself to, assign yourself to, devote yourself to, believe fully, okay, say so. Josh Hawley believes it. Well, I probably don't then. And he's just smiling. He must know a bowl of chocolate chip ice cream is not far away. That's beneath contempt. Absolutely beneath contempt.
No, I have no idea.
I'm sorry, but that is just a terrible response. Senator, your response to the president. He heard that you were for something. Oh, the guy was going to bring the country together. You believed something, and because you believed it, he said, oh, no, I changed my mind. I'm just joking. Is he?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
I just say, Laura, that is totally beneath the dignity of the office of the presidency in the United States.
Yeah, and these are things that should, please, look what I do for a living. I know what's political. And the answer is most things. Even some things that you don't think are, they kind of are. Some things should not be. And the unity we should have against targeting anyone, Jews, Muslims, Christians, anybody, should be a universally held value. Some things, interestingly, transcend politics. You know, okay, what is Tulsi Gabbard anymore, other than like being on Fox News at least as much as some of their hosts? She, a former Hawaii Democrat congresswoman, former Democrat candidate for president, she was on Tucker last night. And she was in Nashville, out front of Covenant, at one of the vigils.
I can only imagine that, you know, for the families and the students here. I'm standing here at the Covenant School entryway behind me, seeing them coming in and paying their respects to the memorial that's been set up there, offering flowers there, questioning why did this happen? And as you mentioned, it is so important for us as a society, as a country, to confront that question with the truth. You know, we see this this so-called woke trans ideology, this agenda of sexualizing our kids at very young ages being pushed across the country, and this dangerous message to our kids saying that, hey, if you are being taught traditional values, whether it be by, you know, your teachers or your parents, you are a victim of child abuse.
Tulsi Gabbard is still the Democrat until she comes out and she actually said, I'm leaving the Democratic Party. She's not a Republican. So let's just say this. It's not just, dyed-in-the-wool Republicans saying this. All right. Speaking of Republicans of note, President Trump wrapped up his interview with Sean Hannity last night. Today's show went fast. Go fast for you. Went fast for me. And Sean asked him, okay, so if Chinese spy balloon lollygags across American skies for 5 days. Got a Russians shot an American drone out of the sky. What would have happened if you were president?
Truth, we as a society.
Whoopsie daisy. Whoa, hang on a second. That's Tulsi Gabbard again. Here we go. On to the Hannity file. Here we go.
I wouldn't have done anything with the balloon because it wouldn't have happened under me. Wouldn't have happened. They wouldn't have sent the balloon.
This is
a big balloon. This is a balloon where you can see it from,
it's like three buses.
75,000 feet away. People are looking. But it's strange. You see it up there.
We only found out because of a guy in Montana.
They wouldn't have done it. I'm just telling you. Just like Putin would have never gone into Ukraine. I used to talk to him about it. I said, better not do it. Better not do it. And he wouldn't have done. We had a very friendly conversation about it. I said, hey, Vladimir,
but you and I get along.
Hey, Vladimir,
go into Ukraine.
Why, you say it with such conviction, why, if you were president, would they not have done this?
Because he knew not to mess around with me.
Did they fear you?
I don't want to say that. You know why? Because you'd say, oh, I don't like people to say, oh, they fear me like a schmuck. I don't want to say it. But did they fear me? I suspect they did.
That's it. Yes! Please, please, through all the... Oh, all the caricatures and all the this and the that and Trump and DeSantis and the decisions that lie ahead, there's some truths that burn through. And one of them is don't ever underappreciate the value of foreign terrorists and tyrants and authoritarians, how much safer you are if around the world what they say about the American president is, dang, if we do this, I don't know what that guy might do.
And you know what? Putin... I ended his pipeline. You never heard of Nord Stream 2 until I came along. I started speaking about Nord Stream 2. Nord Stream 2 is their pipeline, the biggest pipeline in the world. They're building it to Germany. I gave Germany the white flag of surrender. I sent it to Angela. I said, Angela.
The great story.
I have a white flag of surrender. But why? Why? Because you've fought historically lots of wars with Russia. And now they're supplying. They're going to supply 80% of your energy. I said, Angela, are you crazy?
See this, more of this, sir, more of this, more of what you did, more of why your foreign policy is great, more of why your domestic policy is great, more of that, and less of this juvenile bagging on DeSantis. I mean, they've got to say things about each other and criticize each other. That's fine. That's fair game. But golly, just, well, I don't know. They clearly don't call me for advice. I'm just trying to, I want everybody at their best, which is either going to happen or it's not. But you know what? Either way, we have talk shows. And today's is about done. A couple of final notes and an exit ramp tune. Next, it's 9:50.
Figures fill their heads, visions bathed in red.
My sole logic here.
I don't know what day it is.
Nobody's birthday, no chart history. Just one of my favorite bands, one of my favorite albums, Jayhawks and Rainy Day Music. And about 20 years old. I think this came out in 2003.
All I know is I'm loving you for all the right reasons.
All the right reasons.
My sky will always be my morning star.
Just go get you some Jayhawks and thank me later. For producer Rhonda K. Moreland on Twitter at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for technical guru skills. Thank you, Gordon, for journalistic excellence. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Mike Gallagher is next. And hey,
from the train,
speaking of Mike,
Manchester, England.
We are going to be on stage together in Grapevine at the Palace Arts Center there on Main Street. It's less than 3 weeks from now. So get on in there. You want to pony up and be in the VIP. We'll do the grip and grin, the picture. You can eat our food. Or if you just want to get in, get a good seat, we have multiple pricing options. So just grab your tickets now for an evening with Mike and Mark. Mark and Mike, whatever you want to do. We just want to see you there. Coming up on the 18th of April, a Tuesday night in Grapevine. What could be better? Get your tickets now at 660amtheanswer.com. Look at the happy picture of Mike and me. Click that thing, and we'll see you that night. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday show right here on 660 AM. The Answer, I'm Mark Davis. Have a good day.
My sky will always be my morning star.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.